Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'm very happy to see that we have such a good crowd on a Wednesday morning, as we were worried that we would have a very slim crowd. So I'm excited to give you this talk. It's something that we've been doing for the last couple of years on farm. And I'm going to start with this slide here. So this is what I envision happening in 3 or 4, maybe 5 years. So when a farmer wakes up, a farmer who irrigates with pivot irrigation, wakes up in the morning, checks the smartphone, and there's a dashboard that looks like this that informs the farmer about what irrigation actions he or she can take. So if you look at the picture in the middle, that would be sort of the VRI map of a pivot that's enabled for variable rate irrigation. The circles indicate soil moisture sensors that are installed in individual irrigation management zones in that field. On the left-hand side, you see some information about the plant and the suggested irrigation recommendations for those different management zones. The important part is that on the top left, you see there's some information about the crop growth stage. So I'm envisioning that in the future, there's a phenology-based model that's built into this that informs the soil moisture recommendations about, hey, this is what we want to do based on where we are with phenology. And then there's those 4 or 5 bars that are coded the same color as the management zones in the field, and they provide a recommendation of how much water the VRI system should apply to each of those zones. And there's specific 2 buttons there. One is for the farmer to approve that these rates are right, because we could have a sensor failure, for example, and the rates are wrong. And then a separate action to download this information to the pivot controller so that when the pivot starts up, it's applying these rates. So this is what we're working to. I'm going to show you how we've implemented this up to this point on the farm. But before I show you what we've done on the farm, I want to tell you about the 3 key technologies that I think are very important for this to be achieved. One, of course, we need variable rate irrigation. Most of you here know what that is, but I'm going to show you a short video here just so you all are on the same page. Second is we need to be able to develop sound irrigation management zones. And right now, I think this is the biggest weakness of what I've done here. We have a young man here who's a friend of mine who's got some great ideas. He had a great poster, Leah, yesterday of how we can create better irrigation management zones. And thirdly is we need to have some really good low-cost soil moisture sensors that we can install in high densities in the field. Otherwise, we're guessing at what's going on in the field. So just to show you what VRI is, a little animation here. It enables us to change the rates of water along the length of the pipe. So if we're going over different features in the field, different landforms, different soil types, we can apply different rates. And this is a technology that UGA, my university, developed in the early 2000s, but now it's commercially available pretty much with all the large pivot manufacturers. Management zones are a critical thing because we're making the assumption that we can divide these fields up into uniform areas and apply the proper amounts of water to these uniform areas. But I'm not convinced that I know how to do this. So this is a challenge area for us for sure to develop good management zones. So we have a master's student beginning in January who will work on this, but we certainly need to make more progress as a community. One of the steps we've taken is we had a master's student who developed an online management delineation tool that's pretty much the same thing as the MCA tool released by ARS, except this one allows you to do things online and allows you to download shapefiles so that you don't have to recode everything once you bring it into GIS. So the third part is soil moisture sensing systems. And we've worked quite hard on this the last few years. I want to describe to you a system we've developed that's customized specifically for the task that I'm describing here. So to be able to be put in large numbers in a field and to be able to inform variable rate irrigation on how much water we should apply. So here are some of the characteristics you can see on the slide that we designed into the system. We wanted to be very efficient in terms of energy use. Also wanted to be low cost, and we wanted to have a low profile in terms of not being intrusive in the field. Here's what it looks like. The picture on the left shows you the PVC pipe contains the electronics. The probe is in the ground. The probe contains 3 watermark soil moisture sensors. You can see that on the right. The probe can be many lengths. They can be customized to whatever lengths you want. You see the one on the right is for blueberry. For agronomic crops, we have deeper depths and so on. This is the non-intrusive part. You see it has a spring-loaded antenna on it so that when you go through over it in the field, you don't have to go around it. The antenna just tips down and then flips back up, and it makes it very non-intrusive. So one of the things that we had to develop to make this thing cheap and efficient was, you know, to use some telemetry that didn't require each sensor to have its own cell modem or sat link. So we came up with a mesh network system that sends all the information to the gateway. The gateway has a cell modem. It goes up to the web server. The web server has the decision support tool that allows us to look at the data and to visualize it in many different ways. And it's also, of course, used by farmers if they want to. Researchers, you can visualize the data on your smartphone. This is Adam McClendon, the farmer who we work with on these in-field demonstrations that I'll describe in just a minute. So the UGA SSA has allowed us to put a lot of sensors in the field, and we've been able to quantify the tremendous soil moisture variability that we see in the fields in southern Georgia. So here is a snapshot of soil moisture curves from four points in one field. This field was in corn, and what I want to show you is, first of all, to explain to you, this is, we're measuring soil matrix potential because that's what we're using the watermarks for. The y-axis shows basically the soil water tension, the absolute value of soil moisture potential. The bottom of the y-axis is wet, the top is dry. There are three curves on each graph. They represent different depths. In this particular case, it's 8, 16, and 24 inches in depth. And what I want you to see is just, you know, how different a growing season is in soil moisture in 4 points in this field. Node 7, the top right graph, and node 3 are in the center of the field. You can see that. Let me see if I can get the mouse up here. So right in the center of the field, where Adam told us was his most productive area of the field. So this is where he gets his best yields in this field. And if you notice how dry it was during pollination and filling during that part of the field, you know, it's his most productive area, but he left a lot of yield potential on that field because it was so dry. So this is what we're trying to achieve with variable rate irrigation and dynamic VRI, to address this variability that you see in the field. So the next step is to convert the soil matrix potential data, or soil water tension data, into actionable irrigation amounts. And Dr. Shi Yang, who's in the room today, was working with me as a postdoc for a few months, and she applied a Vanga-Newton model. So she essentially recreates the soil water release curves from soil and our soil data that's available through NRCS for each of the soil types that might be in the field. And from that, we can estimate how much water we need to apply to bring the soil profile back to the capacity that we wanted to. And from that, then we code the prescription map, which you see in the top right. This process now is all automated. It's built into our decision support tool. So the data flow in, the decisions are made, and the prescription maps are made automatically. So on to the field demonstrations. So this was done in southwest Georgia. And both years I'll present are done on PNET because of the funding source. So this is a 230-acre field. What we did is we divided this field up into large strips that ran across the length of the field, as you heard in previous presentations. In this case, each of these strips was 120 rows wide, so it's quite wide. So we had alternating strips. The first strip, for example, here on the far left, this was a VRI strip. So you can see we've divided up into management zones. Each of the zones has at least one sensor inside. And then adjacent to it is the uniform strip. So Adam was managing the uniform strips and irrigating them based on an Irrigator Pro irrigation scheduling tool that USDA has released. It's a very good tool. It takes phenology into account. And I want to add that Adam is one of the top peanut growers in the state of Georgia. So we were competing against the best here. We weren't competing against the average farmer with average yields. So anyway, so what happens is when he irrigates, we apply what our system tells us is the optimal amount to bring the profile back to 75% of field capacity. And he applies what Irrigator Pro tells him. So you can see the map here. And if you can look at the numbers are really small to see from the back. But anyway, it shows you what everything was recommending. This is a very short video just to show you how when the pivot was operating, how you see the different zones applying different amounts of water. So, and you can see that we have a very large non-farmed area with the pivot, of course, not applying any water. So this is a real boon for saving water. So you get an idea of that. So for the results from 2015, so 2015 was a good year to grow peanuts, but it was a very bad year to harvest peanuts because we had heavy rains during the harvest period. So the yields were affected by our ability to harvest the peanuts properly. But essentially what you see here is that we didn't have to irrigate very much. It was we had good rain during the season. But we had about the same average yields with both approaches. We had much higher water use efficiency using the dynamic VRI because we used slightly less irrigation water. But if you look at the map on the right, you see there was great variability in yield as we moved across the field, and also in amounts of water we applied in the different zones. But on the eastern side of the field, the far right, Adam definitely over-irrigated there, and he suppressed his yield. I'll show you the soil water tension graphs in just a moment. But as we moved west, we got into drier, sandier conditions, and we, with the dynamic VRI in the far west strip, we under-irrigated, and then we suppressed our yields there. So that's a lesson that we learned last week. Just to show you the curves, so the curves on the left are from the VRI zone that was under-irrigated. You can see there were quite a bit of dry spells there for the deeper sensors, which are the black lines. On the east side, you can see this is the wettest strip, and basically we're at saturation conditions for much of the year, and that suppressed yield. Now, to move on to the 2016 data, we repeated the experiment in a larger field, basically had four pairs of strips this time, and I want to jump right into the data because I'm running a little short on time. So these are the data from just a couple of weeks ago. On this slide, I want you just to look at the average yields for the uniform and the variable rate irrigation. So there was about a 400 kilogram per hectare, 440 pounds per acre difference between the two. So Adam outperformed us. But so this is most of us think in pounds per acre about peanuts. These are the yields that we got there. This is the current state average for irrigated peanuts. So the yields were tremendously higher than the state average. But let's explore why we had these differences. So the first column highlighted in yellow, you can see are the irrigation differences. In all the VRI strips, we irrigated less than Adam did. And the yield difference, of course, showed that we perhaps maybe did not irrigate enough or there was another reason. So there was a pretty uniform difference between the pairs of strips. Our water use efficiency was about 35% to 40% better than his. And I want to show you, sort of try to interpret why we saw those differences. If you look at these data here, these are the soil water tension data from the three sensors that we had at each of the three depths in that field. And so, you know, for 4 inches, 8 inches, and 16 inches, this is what it was in this uniform strip, the average over the whole year. And this is what we had, the equivalent there. So you might think that we were keeping things a little bit drier, maybe that's the explanation. But if you look at this particular strip, essentially we had the same moisture conditions. And we had a pretty large difference in yield still. So perhaps it's the timing. Perhaps the phenology built into the Irrigator Pro is a lot smarter than our sort of static and applying the same threshold all the time model. I think that's part of the explanation. We're still looking at those data, so I really can't give you the answers right now. So in my conclusions here, I just want to show you again this map and tell you, you know, where we are and where I think we need to go. Definitely phenology has to be part of the solution. You know, we can't really maximize the opportunities we have with dynamic VRI if we don't build phenology into the tools. Sensors are a temporary solution. We may look forward to maybe being able to scan these areas with a radiometer or something like that, as we heard from one of the presentations on Monday, and be able to avoid point measurements. Jerry Hatfield made a good point about that earlier in the week. And then long term, I think, with the water problems we're facing in many parts of the country, including Georgia, Texas, Nebraska, Kansas, dynamic VRI offers us an opportunity to really reduce the amount of water we use and to improve our water use efficiency. Thank you, John.
One quick question.
This is the hazards of doing work, farm work in southern Georgia.
I just not saw that.
All right, thank you very much for your attention.